1. Colossians chapter number 1, we have the last several weeks been looking at doctrine, and we've come to understand in this study that the importance of doctrine is looking where the doctrine really does lie, the doctrine that we want to be a part of, and that's the doctrine that resides within the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have this morning to come together and study Your Word. As we take the time this morning, may the things which are said and done edify the saints and truly bring honor and glory to Your name. For it is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. As we get started this morning, just one thing. Isn't this weather terrific? It's October. September we had fall, or August we had fall weather. It was like 62 degrees outside. Now it's like July. And you know what? In a matter of about a month, we'll be wishing we had weather like this.
No, I won't.
Now, Tracy, he likes it when it's like 9 below 0. He lives up in the... Yeah, and that's his prerogative. That's fine. We're looking at doctrine. What inspired this study originally was one morning as I was going to work in ye old potato chip truck heading towards State College, and there was this gentleman on a Christian radio station, and he was talking about doctrine. And it's obvious the doctrine he was talking about is not the doctrine that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Doctrine is basically means what is being taught. And what he was teaching was the importance of going by literally their church constitution and what that church constitution had to say. And based on what we believe at our church, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. That might be doctrine, but that's bad doctrine. The doctrine that we want to be a part of is the doctrine that resides within inside the Word of God, that of course we recognize today in the dispensation of grace, it's what the Apostle Paul teaches. He is our apostle, Romans teaches us. He is the apostle for the Gentiles. And here in Colossians 1, verse number 9, he does not cease to pray for the saints of Colossae, and be desired that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we see the result of being filled with that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the church constitution. That's not what that says, does it? It says increasing in what? The knowledge of God. There's where it resides. That's what we want to be a part of. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says to Timothy, and as of 2 Timothy, Paul knows his time on this earth is very limited. He's giving parting instruction to Timothy and telling Timothy, this is what you should do. And then verse number 10, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured." See, Paul makes the declaration, it's important to understand his doctrine. What your church constitution means nothing unless it coincides with the Scripture through what the Apostle Paul teaches. It's come to a full appreciation and understanding on what it is we become in Christ and allow that to effectually work in us that believe. That's the appropriate doctrine. That's the doctrine that we want to be a part of. It's what Paul is teaching you and I as members of the church, the body of Christ. And what we've looked at, and we began looking at what good doctrine, scriptural doctrine. Will teach us. It's coming to understand that. What does good doctrine give us? Number one. I want to try another pen. I'll try not to put that in the water, Bob. Aha. Good doctrine gives us the knowledge of God. Go to John chapter number 5. Just review a few things very quickly as we move on this morning. Dispensational truth being taught here. John chapter 5, verse number 39. Search what? The Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have an eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Talking about Jesus Christ. Where you want to go to find out about good doctrine, you want to go to the Scripture. Because in the Scripture, it gives you the knowledge of God. Here, Jesus Christ giving instruction to the people of the nation Israel. And he's telling them, where you want to go find out about good doctrine is search the Scriptures. Because in them, you find the very knowledge of God. You want to find out about Jesus Christ, where do you go? Your church constitution? What your preacher teaches? What the elders of the church teach? Tracy's an exception to the rule there, of course. It says so in the book of Tracy, chapter 3, verse 6. Now I'm making light, of course. Tracy's a fantastic teacher. I'm not blind. I know that. I see that. You got to properly suck up before you move on so you get to teach again later. Where you want to find good doctrine is in the Scripture. Because in that Scripture, it gives you the very knowledge of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of your church doctrinal statement. Doesn't say that, does it? Inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. You and I can be perfect. That's what the book teaches. And how you can do that is by allowing good doctrine that comes from the Word of God to work inside you. And motivate you to do that which is right. It allows you to have spiritual growth. Acts chapter 20. What does good Scripture give you? What does that book give you? What does that book empower you? Acts chapter 20, verse number... I better turn there myself. 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the church doctrinal statement, to the word of His grace. See, again and again and again, the Apostle Paul reviewing the importance of the book. It's the importance of the Word, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. It gives you an inheritance. And it's an inheritance that you can never, ever, ever lose. We mentioned this briefly last week. On this earth, can you lose an inheritance? Just like that. There's a woman last week I was watching on TV that had a house here in town. And in a matter of a very short period of time, guess what happened to her house? Where's her inheritance? It's gone. You and I don't have the inheritance on this earth. Our inheritance is what we have with Christ eternally in the heavenly places for all of eternity. And it's yours. And you know what He promises you? You cannot ever lose it. It's yours. It says that that book gives us a provision for spiritual growth. It's able to build you up. It's able to make you strong. it's able to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And you can never lose that. Praise God for that. Because I didn't deserve it. Neither did you. Were we all sinners? Did we all deserve eternal damnation? And what did He give us instead? An inheritance. It's all yours. Just study it and appreciate it and embrace it and allow it to work through you. Colossians 3. Verse 16, let the word of Christ, boy, I can't die. Let the word of Christ dwell in you how?
Richly.
In all wisdom. You want to find out where true wisdom lies? Look in the book. Look in the book. And allow it to work through you. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And you know what? All this that we have, the inheritance that we have, and understanding that what Christ has, I have freely by His grace. You know what we should say, by the way? Thank you. It says, give thanks to God and the Father by Him. We live in an unthankful world, don't we? It's all what's in it for me, what's in it for me, what's in it for me. No, 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 no. That ought not be the case. It's all about Him because He's done it all for me. Don't go there. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 14 through 17. The Word is able to establish you in every good work. You want to find out where good doctrine lies? It's in the Scripture. It gives you the very knowledge of God, and it gives you the provision for spiritual growth. It allows you to be what you become in Christ. Point number 3. It gives us the mind of Christ. If you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is where we left off last week. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have what?
The mind of Christ.
You and I, through the Scripture, through the good doctrine that resides within inside the pages of that King James book, you and I have in our possession the very mind of Christ. What His mind is now yours. Where do you find that mind? Leviticus 24. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Never mind. That's something we taught the kids from the time they were teeny, teeny, tiny. Leviticus 24, verse number 12. We find out where the mind of Christ lies. If you want to find out where the mind of Christ lies, where do you find the mind? Verse number 12, Leviticus 24, 12. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. Now, here's a situation in the Old Testament where the mind of the Lord is about to be shown to these individuals. And the Lord did what? Spake unto Moses. What? When you speak, what are you giving somebody?
A piece of your mind.
A piece of your mind. Your words. The words. I'll give you a piece of my mind. No, you don't want that. Trust me. I don't even want to hear me speak sometimes.
George says you can't spare it.
Shut up, George.
See, he's just not brave enough to say it out loud, but he, I can hear him. So, yeah.
Speak up. The Lord spake to Moses. What the Lord gave Moses was His word. If we want to find where good doctrine resides, we find it in Scripture. And what do we have in Scripture? The very word of God. If you want to find out where God's mind is, here in Leviticus chapter number 4, the word of God was about to be disclosed. The Lord was giving him a piece of His mind. Mm-hmm. Literally. If we want to find out where the mind of God resides, we go to none other than the Word of God. If you want to find out how God is operating and functioning today, you don't go to the church doctrinal statement. You go to His Word. You don't go to yourself. You will let yourself down every time. Every time. Trust in the book. If you want to find out where God is operating and God is functioning, you go to His book. If you want to find out what's going on today in a dispensation of grace, you go to the book. If you want to find out what God's doing in the book of Revelation, I gave you the answer. Where do you go? The book. If you want to find out what He was doing in 1 Samuel, where do you go? You don't go to the church doctrinal statement. You don't go to yourself. You don't go to the flesh, because in my flesh dwelleth how many good things? You will let yourself down every time. You go to the book. Having all this and possessing all that will change something very, very important. By looking at all that that we just reviewed, you know what it will change? This. It'll change your outlook. It'll change your outlook on things. When you allow that mind of Christ to operate inside you, it'll change your focus. It'll change your outlook. If you would with me, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you find out what you've been given freely by God's grace, that hopefully will change your outlook. When you recognize that you've been transformed from a sinner to a saint, that'll change your outlook. When you realize that you've been given that position we mentioned a little while ago in the heavenly places, where our focus is not here on the earth. Our focus is in what we become in Christ and where we will ultimately be. You know what that changes? Your outlook. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For which cause we faint not, but thou our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. How often?
Amen.
How do you get renewed by the inward man? There was a passage we were at not too long ago in the last couple of weeks. Where does the Spirit of God operate today? In what? In His Word. The Spirit of God operates in His Word. And whenever you take some personal time and you go and you sit down and you put your nose inside that book and you study it, it renews that inward man day by day. See, that's the importance of daily Bible study. It's not something that you want to take and you want to put it on your nightstand and let it sit there till next Sunday. It's something that you want to constantly review and constantly look at. Because when you do so, it says here, it renews our inward man on a daily basis. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Boy, we live in a world that doesn't want to do that. What do we want to focus on? Everything that we can see. Had a conversation with a saint not too long ago. And again, I'll say not here, not in Glasgow, not in Bedford. I used that line up in Glasgow this morning. Okay? Not in this church, not in the one in Glasgow, not the one in Bedford, or Dan Gross, or any of those guys. But I had a conversation with a saint, and you know what he said? I know the Lord is blessing our church because we've got money. We went out and we bought new vans. We've got this going on over here, and we needed $20,000 over there. And guess what happened? Shazam! There the money came. You know how they got the $20,000? Because there were enough people in the church that knew that they needed the $20,000, and that's how they came up with it. God didn't just drop it on their lap. But all that, anyhow, besides the point, what that new van that all of a sudden they were able to get, is that something that you can see or is that something that you can't see? I can see it. That 20,000 bucks that they needed, guess what? Can I see 20,000 bucks?
Maybe.
Maybe not in my life, but somewhere else. Can I see 20,000 bucks? Oh yeah. That's something that you can see. It's something you can touch. But according to this verse, by allowing the scriptures and the mind of God to work in you through His Word, we have a change in outlook. It says here, while we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? We don't look at what we can see, we look at the things that we can't. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. A poor lady, who I feel sorry for her, that lost her house, boom, it was gone. Was that something that she could see? And what happened to it? Gone. My flesh. That's something I can see right now, right? Whatever time I have left in this life, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, oh, please, no. Oh, I'll never live to see 106. Good. But this is something that I can see. I can feel it. Is this thing temporal? What's going to happen to this thing? It's going back to the dust from which it came. Changes my outlook on life. You see, what the most of the body of Christ wants to do is they want to say, looky, 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 looky. And the Word of God says, no. You don't look at the things which are seen. You look at the things which are not seen. Can you see you have eternal life? That's something that's not seen. And where do you find out you have eternal life? Through the Scriptures, the Word of God. Can you see that the very righteousness that exists in Jesus Christ is now a part of you? That doesn't look too righteous to me. Fact is, it looks in pretty bad shape. But where do I find out that I've been made righteous? That's Jesus Christ. Through the book. We don't look at the things which are seen. We look at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. This is temporary. One day it's gone. 50 years from now, I sincerely doubt there will be a soul that knows who Bob Beam is. But in the eyes of the Lord, where am I going to be for all of eternity? Because of the work that Jesus Christ has performed for us. By allowing that mind of Christ, the doctrine that resides within inside that book changes our whole perspective. And it changes all. Look at what it can do for you. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Notice how our outlook changes if we allow the doctrine of the book to work inside of us. And that's a big if. Because we can reject that. It's very foolish if you do. I'm saying that to myself too, okay? Look at what the book can do. Verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have, what's that word?
Learned.
What he's about to say, he had to learn. It doesn't come naturally. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what?
Content.
It changes our outlook. I have learned. This is something that I had to learn, Paul says. That in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And remember, Paul is our apostle. And Paul states in his writings, how you've seen me operate and function, that do. And the peace of God will be with you. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Thinking about this guy he had a conversation with a while back. He was commenting about how well he knew God was working in his church because they had this many people going to their church and they had this amount of money and they had all these new vans all of a sudden show up and everything was just going peachy keen and hunky-dory. What if that wasn't happening? What if the $20,000 that they needed didn't show up? What if instead of the church having 150 people going to it, they had 15? What if the man had cancer? That verse says to me, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Whoa, wait a minute. You mean you might have need? If I have cancer, do I need a cure? I would hope so, but there's no guarantee that'll happen, right? If I don't have two nickels to rub together, is that okay?
Yes.
I would prefer to have two nickels, but that doesn't mean I need it. What did I need?
Christ.
Whether or not I have $20,000 in vans and 150 people in the church, and this is going on and that is going on and everything is peachy keen and woo-woo, that's something I can see. What do I look at? Things that are seen or things that are not seen?
Not seen.
It changes my outlook. Did Paul understanding the doctrine that Christ personally taught him change him? Oh boy. Just think about him on that road to Damascus back in Acts chapter number 9. And Jesus Christ was standing there and said, I need to talk to you.
Think about the end of his life when he went to the chopping block.
When he went to the die, Paul said, I'm ready to go. Let's go. Bring it on. Think about it. The worst thing this world can do to you is kill you. That's what happened to Paul. You know, Paul basically said, I get to go to be with the Lord for all of eternity. Okie doke, let's go. When we have trials and tribulation in this life, will we, by the way, have trials and tribulations in this life? Oh, yeah. And sometimes life is a real pain in the neck. But I can do all through Christ that strengtheneth me. It changes our outlook. That's why Paul says, I have learned both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let the world have at it. The worst thing it can do is kill you. And if they kill you, you get to be with Christ for all of eternity. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. One thing we better come to a full grip and realization of is that what we see does not have a long time. It doesn't. Verse number 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world does what? That lady here last week that was in her house one moment, and the next moment it was gone. It's gone. What you have in this life is temporal. And it would do us well to recognize that. Don't, and I'm telling myself this while I'm teaching this, okay? One of the great things about doing a Bible study is the one who puts the Bible study together, you know what else they get to do whenever they're getting a lesson together to teach? You know what else we do, we find? We learn from that study. Don't get caught up in the affairs of this life. Paul says, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Here in verse number 31, the fashion of this world passes away. Whatever you have here in this life is only temporary. In a second, it will be gone. Don't focus on the world. Do not focus on the world, because it will let you down. Colossians chapter 3. If we are not to focus on the world, what do we focus on? Colossians 3, verse number 1. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on what? Don't get caught up on things on this world. And boy, it's real easy to get caught up in the things on this earth, because our flesh is tied to this earth. And it gets real easy to get seduced and sucked in by those things. But by looking at the doctrine that resides within inside the Scripture, We can come and learn in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. We can learn how we can focus on the things of Christ and those things which are above. If ye be risen with Christ, are you risen with Christ?
Yes.
Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Is that something that we can see, by the way? That's something that is not seen. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For ye are what?
Dead.
You're dead. I can't remember if it was here or Glasgow I used this illustration recently. I think it was here. Suppose I have a dog. We'll call him Fluffy, right? Real neat name for a dog, Fluffy. Probably better come up with a better name than that.
Rover!
Rover! Rover! I get up one morning and I get ready to go down to the old chip truck. There's Rover lying on the floor, and Rover is not breathing. Rover cannot turn over. I look at Rover and I say, Rover, I know what you need. You need a good brushing. And I sit there and I brush Rover. Let me ask a question. What good does that do Rover? Why? Because Rover's what?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not enough. Rover, I'm going to get you a bowl of water, and I'm going to get you some food. I'm going to get you a T-bone steak, Rover. And I take that, and I set that down next to Rover. Does that do Rover any good? Why? Because Rover's what? Yeah, we try to do that with our bodies. We try to dress it up and make it look good. And we try to do things like, look at what I'm doing. And there's the key word. Hear that? Look at what I'm doing for Jesus. No. It's not what you're doing for Jesus, it's what God's doing through you as an ambassador for Christ. Because whose life is resident inside you? And yet we try to dress up that flesh and make it look good. I'm going to say this in a joking style, which Tracy will mock me momentarily. Look at this body.
Please not.
See? Told you. I don't care how hard you try to dress this thing up, in my flesh dwelleth how many good things? Yeah, we try to do that. We try to do good because we want to do good. We want to focus. No. It's not you that matter. You were so vile and contemptible that in the eyes of the Lord God had to kill it. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth where? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It changes our outlook. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Christ. That's what good doctrine will do for you. The focus is not you. The focus is Christ. Because He deserves all praise. He deserves all worship. He deserves all adoration. Because He's done all for you and for me. And by doing this, lastly, I put that pen away. It gives us a brand new purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. While you turn there, I'm going to quote you a passage. We walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Anything that I can see is deception. Understand that? Anything I can see is deceiving. It's deception. look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which... You get it. We have a whole new purpose. 2 Corinthians 5. I better turn there. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. What does pass away mean? If Bob Beam passed away, what does it mean? I'm dead. Behold, all things are become new. I've been transformed from a sinner to a saint. I have the life of Christ resident inside me. Where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all live inside me, I am the temple of God. Wow. Is that new? Oh boy. Oh boy. Yes, it is. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have been committed the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You know what we are? We're ambassadors for Christ. Do we have a purpose?
Yes.
Oh boy. You are a minister of reconciliation to the world. You want to know what your job is? You are a minister of reconciliation to the world. I am an ambassador for Christ. You know what an ambassador does. We've gone over this a million times. An ambassador is an individual that comes from a foreign country, from another country, and goes to a foreign country and represents the country that he comes from to that foreign country. You're an ambassador. We reside in the heavenly places. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, guess who else sits there? And you come from that country, and we're on a foreign country here on earth. And believe me, anybody that hears us talk, they think we are foreign. And what do? We represent God to the world. We come from this country, and we want to let you know how it is to get saved and have eternal life, become a saint, and then live a life pleasing to God. It changes our outlook, and we have a purpose. Chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We are workers together with him. We have a purpose. We have a purpose. It's amazing to see what we have. How we come to understand what it is we become is being filled with a knowledge of God. As we close, Colossians 1. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with a knowledge of his will. We can be filled with a knowledge of his will. How do we become filled with a knowledge of his will? Go to the book. And allow that book to work inside you and transform you and change your perspective to that which matches God. Allow that book to work and to motivate you to be the saint that you've become. And when it does that, the result is in verse 10. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in what? Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's all become filled with the doctrine. And it's not the church doctrinal statement that means anything, unless it matches that which resides in the Scripture. Go to the book. Allow that book to answer all of your questions, and allow it to make you become the ambassador for Christ that you should be. Let's pray.